Well, hey, good morning, everybody. Are you glad you're in church today? Come on, that's your moment to get happy right there. So glad to see all of you. My name is Brian. My wife and I, we are the campus pastors, newly set in campus pastors for Life Austin Southwest, and we are excited. Thank you for that roaring applause. All three of y'all made my Christmas list just then. Now, we are excited about this new season. It's going to be a great time. We are looking forward to believing God with you and Pastor Randy and Neith, who are on a cruise, a working cruise. There is such a thing as a working cruise right now. So our prayers are with them. But we're looking forward to the future as we grow together and we reach our city and our families. We're excited. It's going to be a great, great time. I want to welcome all of our Life Family congregations who are joining us. We're glad you're part of service today. Also, all those joining us online. Through our online congregation. We're so glad you're in service. I want to give a special shout out to Stephen and Kendall Nepa watching us in Charlotte, North Carolina. They just recently got married. We're glad you're part of service with us today. We're going to have a great time. We've been in a series called Getting It Right. Getting It Right. What are we trying to get right? Our relationships. Has anyone ever gotten it wrong? No show of hands, because it's become a very illustrated sermon quick on your row, okay? But we're trying to get it right because we don't always get it right. Sometimes we get it wrong. There are occasions, maybe not for you, but for me, where I just slip and I say the wrong thing or I give the wrong look. Help me, Jesus. There are all kinds of ways that, you know, we get it wrong from time to time. And so we as a church, we believe that God has a plan in Scripture and ways that we can get it right. We can work on our relationships. The goal is to have healthy, life-giving relationships in our life. From friendships to marriages to parenting to being a good child. We want to be healthy in our relationships. And it's funny because when we're trying to get it right, sometimes we're hitting on all cylinders. Everything's flowing good and everything's awesome. And you're like, God, I love life. And then all of a sudden, it's just like, boom. It happens. The look, the word, the missed decision, the wrong decision. And it's like, oh man, I got it wrong there. It happens so fast. I have a visual. I like to use some visual illustrations. And so I'm going to give you a very visual. My wife and I were, and my son Paxton, we were at a, had a family photo shoot just a little while back. And we were celebrating his first birthday. And We wanted to do this photo shoot, and it was going so awesome, really. My son, we're so blessed. He's an easygoing fellow. And we were having a great photo shoot. Kennedy, who goes to our church, if you're here, you're awesome. But she was taking our photos, and we had this moment where my wife had Paxton up in the air, and it was this great big smile. And as she was laughing, and she's got blonde hair, it was like one of those movie scenes. The hair was flapping, and the wind was blowing the trees. It was just like, this is awesome. And by the time she put him down, my heart was so full of joy. I was just so excited. I was standing by the photographer. I took a couple steps forward and I knelt down on my knees and I said, son, come to daddy. And guess what happened? Let me show you this picture. He came running to daddy. He came running. And it was just like, oh man, it's beautiful. It's this picture. In fact, it was Instagram perfect, right? It was. I was going to get a lot of likes on this picture. I just knew by the time he hit my arms and I lifted him into the air, it was going to be just like epic. Just when the pride filled my heart, things were going right, my son went left. Check this out. True story. I have the picture to prove it, right? Just when my heart was so full, I could see it playing out how awesome this moment was going to be. He chose a stick over his dad. He grabbed this stick and he was just like, ooh. I had to guard my heart, deal with my emotions in that moment. I later got home and my wife was consoling me, said, you know, he is just 12 months, 13 months old. And I had this other mental picture like, okay, he eats his breakfast like this. I can give him some grace. Right? He doesn't make all good decisions. On a more serious note, in our lives, it's just that way, is that things get going so well or we're clicking along and it's happy times, and then all of a sudden just something happens. And what I've found in relationships as people come and go in our life and is that as we try to manage and navigate our relationships healthy and safely, that sometimes we get in this moment where we're trying to get it right, but sometimes we don't, and people are coming and going. You know, some people come into your life just for circumstances. There are some people come into your life just for a short moment of circumstantial presence. And then there are other times people come into your life for seasons. They're here seasonal. They'll help you walk out a few months or maybe a year, but they were God sent. Then other times there's people that come into your life for a lifetime. And I'm so thankful for those people in my life. But as you navigate all of those, whether it's short-term or long-term, in my experience, one of the greatest ingredients to all of those relationships going well for me has been this one word, grace. It's been grace. Whether it's them being gracious towards me in the middle of a crisis and they don't even know me well and they're having to help me navigate something, or maybe it's a friend who's known me for 20, 30 years and I'm just being the stubborn old me I'm being, and they're giving me grace in that moment, grace in that season. And I want to tell you today, if we're going to have healthy relationships, we've got to have grace. We've got to practice grace in our relationships and be willing to give people margin, give them a little room to make a mistake. Because I want to tell you, no one really gets into a relationship and says, hey, I want this thing to go awry. I want this thing to be miserable. I hope in a couple years when we're finished with each other, we're bitter and angry and no longer want to live in the same city, right? No, nobody says that. But somewhere along the way, we lose grace for one another. And we stop allowing margin for mistakes in our relationships. Jesus really does give us a good plan in the scripture for this. He talks about grace. In fact, I'll just say it like this. We wouldn't have a relationship with our Lord without grace in it. Because without grace, we would feel like we had to do something to get his approval. That we would have to have this checklist. And could you imagine the pressure of having a checklist to do all these things right, to have God approve of us in our relationship? To say, okay, if I'm going to stay in your life, then you've got to do these three things right today and these five things tomorrow. And it's like, wait, no, there's grace for that. It's really his plan. And sometimes we can slip off into that checklist mode. We can slip off into that putting expectations on ourselves and other people that it's just unrealistic for us to meet. Acts chapter 15, Paul's kind of having one of these moments where he's talking about what all the Lord has done, and he's talking to a group of believers like this, and he's talking, he's explaining that the Lord has been doing this in this city, in this town, and he's just kind of having a celebration moment, a good time, everything's going right. And then a couple of Pharisees, who are believers as well, they kind of jump up in the mix and they say, well, we appreciate what you're talking about, Paul. I'm paraphrasing, by the way. This is Acts chapter 15. I would love to have seen a disciple say, whoa, wait a minute, but it's not in there. But my translation says, the Pharisees, they jumped in the middle of this and he says, hey, listen, I understand this, what the Lord's doing, but hey, you've got to do there's a few rules you've got to take care of here. And they began to put these expectations on Paul and the other believers. And then Paul kind of has this rise up moment. Wait, that's not how healthy relationship goes. That's not God's plan. That's not his best for this scenario. And then this is what he says starting in verse 10. He said, Paul stands up. One translation says he rises to his feet. He says, so why are you now challenging God by burdening the Gentile believers with a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors were able to bear? He says, why are you putting this weight on us all of a sudden? Verse 11, he says, we believe that we are all saved by the same way, the undeserved grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, listen, I love the fact that Paul paints this picture with the yoke. And if you don't understand what a yoke is, you didn't come from the country, I guess. But this yoke, the mental picture is that this yoke that an ox or an animal would have around its neck hooked to a piece of machinery. It's symbolic of a burden, symbolic of a weight, something that they're having to carry and pull along. And Paul says, hey, listen, when you start giving us these expectations, when you start putting these weights on us that listen, no one else has ever met this before, and now all of a sudden you're putting it on us, you're setting yourself up for disappointment. You're putting me in a position where I will never meet these expectations, so I'm going to be frustrated. I'm going to feel the weight of trying to meet this standard that I can't meet. But that's why the Lord's given us grace. He gives us grace in our life to show us, hey, it's okay to get it wrong sometimes. There's going to be moments He knows He's created that margin for us to make mistakes and still be okay with Him. That's His plan. He goes on to, there's another passage of scripture in James chapter 4 where it's quoting that the Lord says, do you know why you're in conflict and why you're always fighting and striving? Starting with verse 1 here in James 4. And he says, well, because you're always scheming, trying to get your way, and you're always wanting things that you don't have. You're jealous of other people. He's talking about our lives. And he says, and so much so that you've become adulterers with my love. You're loving other people. You're giving my love to someone else. And he's painting this picture of how he wants us to have a relationship with him that's right. And the people were getting it wrong. But just like God has done in every scenario, verse 6, after he had explained all of this wrong, he says, but God gives us more grace. That's kind of a deep breath moment for me. When I feel like I've messed it all up, in fact, when I know I've messed it all up, there's something that happens where God shows up in my life when I call on Him, and when I ask Him for it, He gives me more grace. And I'm so glad, because otherwise I wouldn't have a relationship with Him. And if I did, it would be dysfunctional. It would be overwhelming. It would be unrealistic for me. I would carry all these weights and this burden trying to meet a standard I could not meet. But here's the model that the Lord's given us for our relationships. It's okay. I'm frustrated. This is a reality for me. You've really done these things, but it's okay. I've got more grace for you. Let's try to get this right again. Unrealistic expectations create unnecessary burdens in our relationships. This is where I'm trying to keep us from today, is to not put unrealistic expectations on people. We're going to mess up. We're going to get off track a little bit. We're going to miss a decision. We're going to make a bad decision, and it's okay to give grace for that. So if we accept the fact that grace is a part of what we do and grace is a part of who we are, then we've got to learn to walk that out in our relationships. We've got to be intentional to say, okay, if I want healthy relationships, I'm tired of hanging some things over their head. I'm tired of the things hanging over my head. I want to have a grace-filled, life-giving relationship with this person or these people. Then I want us to walk out over the next few moments together what that looks like for you. What's that look like for me? Because if I'm going to be a part of your life, I'm going to need some grace, I want you to know. And if you're going to be a part of my life, I want you to know you can get grace from me. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have it all together. And my married people said amen. Wrong moment, I'm sorry. Sorry, my wife is here. We'll grace that out later, okay? But the realistic expectation is we're all going to need grace. And so let's talk about what that looks like in your life, in my life. Let's talk about how we walk that grace out. And so this really is a topic that could be exhaustive. We could talk about it for a long time, but I just want to share a few things that's for me that's worked or that helped me shape up grace in my relationships. Let me talk about the first thing that helps me is responsibility. Responsibility. Taking responsibility for grace being in my relationships. It's so easy for me to just show up and say, why aren't you giving me grace? And why have we gotten off track and not be extending grace? Here's what I want to encourage you. Make up your mind today that you're going to be the one who engages grace, kindness, patience, forgiveness in your relationships. Otherwise, we're going to push people away. They're going to push us away. Because no one wants to live in a hard heavy relationship. Be responsible. Take responsibility to say, I'm going to put grace in this relationship. And if you're going to do that, if you're going to say, I want grace in this relationship, here's where it starts for you. Grace for yourself. Here's what I found. I can't give someone else what I'm not giving me. I've tried to give the people I love grace, and I'm beating myself up. I'm guilting myself. I'm shaming myself for decisions and things I feel like I could do better and things I've done wrong. And guess what happens to the people I love? I guilt them. I shame them. I beat them up. I hold things over their head because I'm not giving grace to me. You've got to get to a place where you have grace for yourself, that you've accepted the fact that you're not perfect, that you're not going to get it all right. And if you're going to move forward in grace and start taking steps in this direction, you've got to have patience with yourself. The scripture in Matthew says, I think it's in Matthew. Let me see. I have it wrong here on my notes. March. Where do we go from here? I guess April. I don't know. For the record, this is why I have a backup. Are you ready? Mark could sometimes sound like March. These are your marching orders. I can go all day on this. Ready? Mark 12:31 does say, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Don't think you're going to love them like you don't love you. You're going to frustrate them like you frustrated with yourself. Let me put it in our context. Grace your neighbor as you grace yourself. Be willing to be patient when you mess up. Oh, I can't get it right. And you're right. You may not have gotten it correct this time, but there's going to be a next time. And let's have grace, okay? Because what happens if you don't, if you don't keep going like that, you create this cycle of never good enough. Never good enough. Oh man, I've been caught in that. And it's this hamster wheel where you're just you're exhausting yourself trying to be good. Take the unrealistic expectation off yourself. And just say, okay, I don't do it all right. But here's what I want you to know. I'm trying to do it right. I want to do it right. Some of the best conversations I've had with my wife is just to sit down and say, I've messed this up. I want you to know I want to do it better. How can I do this better? And it helps. It helps me initiate grace, which leads me to my next point. To walk out grace in our relationships is vulnerability. It's vulnerable to say all of a sudden, hey, I've messed up. I can't do it all right. Even if you had a superpower, sometimes you'd use your superpower for the wrong thing. It's just part of life. We're not going to always hit the mark. And here's where I want to encourage you with vulnerability is that you've got to be willing to let people into your world that can help you. Let me ask you this question. Who is in your world that can come alongside of you when your relationships are challenged? Who in your life can you pick up a phone? You can send a text, say, we need to talk. Who is that? Who is that group of people that you can step into and say, man, it's been a rough one this week? Not, well, great, it's been awesome. How's everybody doing? No, you know what? I've messed up. I need some help. Help me understand how to get better. Because when you begin to get vulnerable, when you begin to get honest with yourself and the things that are wrong, you then begin to have grace to receive help. You get grace to receive help. And there is such a thing as gracious help, gracious counsel in your life. Sometimes for me, it's been like, I wish someone would ask me. I wish I knew what to do here. And I'm thinking of all these people in my life, and I'm like, if they would just call me, here's what I've had to learn. I have to invite myself into those conversations. I have to take initiative and say, I'm not going to settle for this. I want to get up here in the right place relationally, mentally, emotionally. And I've had to engage help. I want to tell you, as if you're a part of this church, maybe you're not a part of this church and you need some help, we have some resources available to you. We have counseling available. We have Christian counselors in our church. Listen, we believe in it. We believe you need, it's part of God's plan to get it right. It's to have people to help you get it right. Sometimes you don't know what you don't know. Sometimes you can't see it. You've got blind spots. And one of the greatest things you can do is sit down with someone and just be vulnerable and honest and say, how can I get better? What am I missing here? Maybe you want to get in a small group or one of our life groups here at the church. Listen, a great gift to give yourself is to get in a group of people who are trying to do the same things. No, they're not all perfect. They're not getting it right every time, but they're trying to. And it's good just to kind of talk along a journey like, wow, man, this was a crazy moment here. Hey, I had one of those 2 weeks ago. Let me tell you, it was here on this side of it. You can do it, right? It's about getting yourself in position for help. Here's a great verse in Proverbs 15:22. Says this, refuse good advice and watch your plans fail. Take good counsel and watch them succeed. Take good counsel and watch them succeed. We want your relationships. There's no doubt God wants your relationships to succeed. Open yourself up to some good counsel, to some wise counsel. There's another scripture or translation that says, in the multitude of counsel, there's safety. There's safety in it. The vulnerability creates a safe. It goes against our feeling. We think if we expose ourselves and we ask for help that it's going to be bad and it's going to all go downhill and they're going to judge you. No, you're not going to be judged. You're going to be received because they need grace too, just like you. Reach out. Receive help. Ask someone to be a part of getting it right in your life. Amen? It's part of God's plan. It's part of God's plan. As you begin to take responsibility and you begin to walk those out, you engage grace in your life and in your relationships. And as you begin to, as you walk that grace out and you become honest with yourself and a little vulnerable, receiving help and getting this process, here's what begins to happen. Restoration. Not just a repair, not patchwork, full restoration. Now, if you're in a place where you feel broken and you feel hurt, this may be hard for you to grasp. You're in a place where you're walking out some wrong decisions by yourself or someone else to you in your world. This seems like a foreign concept that God could really restore back to its original state, your heart, your emotions, your relationships, or maybe a particular relationship. That's what the Lord is in. He's in the restoring business. He's in the business of making things whole again. For me, I felt like I always would have to have some emotional limps in my heart, in my life, until I got the revelation and even experienced restoration in my heart where God can totally heal you to a place like the thing never happened, like the decision was never made. Yes, the decision was made, but I don't have to live underneath it. I don't have to carry that burden and that weight and that heaviness. I can be completely, completely restored. And I want to tell you, I've come this morning to share with you that I believe full restoration can happen in your heart. I believe God's promised it to you. I believe I've seen it in my life and in people's life. I've walked out pastoring with people who are different. They're not even the same person anymore, because of the restoration God's done in their heart. As you begin to experience restoration, all of a sudden you feel the grace to try again. Something comes over you and you all of a sudden feel this great, this empowerment to say, okay, I want to try this again. I want to try a relationship again. I want to open myself up and say, let's get it right this time. Let me tell you, God has great plans for your marriage. God has great plans for your friendships, for your kids, for your parents. And He wants to use you to give them a second chance. Yeah, you too, but give them a second chance. Show them what grace looks like in a relationship. Now's not the time to quit. Now's not the time to give in to the weight and the heaviness. Listen, follow God's plan for this. Go with the grace route. Take on more grace. And if you feel yourself heavy and you feel yourself burdened, listen, know you've stepped out of God's grace. Jesus said it like this, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Man, what a great verse to take the pressure off, to help us navigate if we're in grace or if we're under unrealistic expectations for our life. God wants you to try again. He wants you to get back up. I love this verse in Psalms 24. It says, though a righteous man falls seven times, he what? Rises again. He gets back up. I want to stir that rise up in you this morning. Don't stay beat down and broken and allow your relationships to suffer. Don't hold things from the past over the people that God has for you in the future. Decide, I'm going to rise up. I'm going to get healed. I'm going to get restored. I'm going to be better than I've ever been. I'm going to be on track with God. I'm going to be faith-filled. I'm going to be hopeful. I'm not going to live in despair and fear. I'm going to say, God, the best days are ahead of me and not behind me. I'm going to make up my mind today that I'm going to get it right. Yep, I'm probably going to fall at some point, but I'm going to rise up again, and then I'm going to rise up again, and I'm going to say, God will see me make an effort. I will be grace-filled, I will be spirit-led, and I will see godly relationships in my life. I believe that you can make a decision right here today that changes the rest of your relationships from this point forward. I would say pardon my passion, but I believe in it too much. I've seen the fruit of it way too much in my life. I've seen the fruit of it way too much in my life, the relationships that looked lost and totally broken. But God gave more grace. He gave me a grace to love them again. He gave me grace to trust them again. He gave me grace to be healed. He gave me grace to walk out healing in their life. He gave me grace to receive help and to trust people in my life again, to be vulnerable. He gave me a way out of being judged and heavy. He gave me a lighter, easier way to do it. Accepting his grace in my life and giving it to those in mine. I believe today that you're here, you're hearing this message because there's some opportunity for grace in your relationships. As I prayed this week and just believed God for this moment, I've believed that we would have a moment of prayer and that some of you, maybe even many of you, are in a position where you're ready to receive some grace. There's some things you keep butting up against, you keep hitting up against in your relationships. It's like the same cycle. I mentioned that hamster wheel. It's like you're exhausting yourself. You keep hitting up against this. I'm believing today for some complete breakthrough. I'm believing God's going to give you some grace today to have courage to try again, to believe again, to receive again, to grace again in your life. It's his plan. It's his plan for you. I want to pray for you in just a moment. But I want you to ask yourself, where do I need grace? Is there a relationship, past or present, that could use some of God's grace on it today? Maybe a name's popped in your head, maybe a face, maybe a circumstance, a situation. You've been playing it out in your mind as I've been talking about grace. That's what I'm trying to get to right there, that moment where you say, God, I've got to have you in this situation. Are you ready? You ready to pray? I want you to stand to your feet with me all across the room. And I want you to take a posture of true receiving. Whatever that looks like for you. Maybe it's open hands. Maybe it's outstretched hands. Whatever it takes for you to say, God, I'm ready for it right now. Here I am. Maybe it's forgiveness. You need to start there with yourself and just give yourself some grace. Ask for forgiveness for some things you've done. Maybe ask for forgiveness for decisions you've made. Or maybe it's you start with giving forgiveness to someone who's done those things to you. Just being vulnerable, being real with God right here in this moment. He already knows, but there's power when we begin to talk to him about it. When we begin to receive his grace. I'm going to lead you in this prayer, but I want you to begin to pray in your own words, from your own heart, about where you need his grace most. Father, we're so thankful that we could come boldly to your throne of grace today. God, that with our hearts broken or maybe our minds confused or how we went wrong, we don't have to understand it, but in this moment we can receive your grace and your forgiveness. And so we do that right now. We ask for it. God, give us grace. Let your grace cover our shortcomings. God, let your grace cover our mistakes. God, I ask for your forgiveness in this area, not to ever look back and hold that over myself again. God, I don't want to live in guilt and shame and heavy. I want to be light and easy like you promised. So God, we give it to you right now. We release it. And Lord, I pray, Lord, as they begin to pray that prayer, you begin to release your grace. You begin to lift heavy burdens in this room. Lord, as people begin to be vulnerable in their hearts and talk to you about the secrets and the depths and the dark places, they need your grace. I pray, Lord, you begin to heal right now. Let healing balm flow through the hearts of these people, Lord. Let restoration happen. Father, let restoration happen right here in this moment. Just as if it never happened, complete to our original state. God, let restoration happen. Thank you that your anointing destroys yokes. Let it be broken right now in the name of Jesus. Strongholds are broken. Breakthrough is happening right now in homes, marriages, hearts. Let emotions be healed right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we receive it. Lord, we receive it right here. We receive it in your presence, God. Never the same. Lord, give us the lens, the eyes of grace, that we would look at our relationships grace-filled from this day forward, Lord. As you continue to pray and your eyes are closed, I want to have a prayer moment for a special group of people that's in here today. That group is those of you who've never received God's grace for your life. You've never put your trust in Jesus. You've never experienced a new beginning, a fresh start in life. The scripture calls that being saved, being a salvation prayer, where we can be rescued from the things we're in and set on a new course, a new path, and put in the plans of God for your life. The scripture just simply says this, that if we can believe that Jesus is our Lord, that he died for our sins, if we can believe that in our hearts, and that with our mouth we can confess him, we can repent of our sins, we receive forgiveness and grace in that moment. And from there forward, it's a new beginning. It's a new life in him. Today can be the day you decide to follow Jesus, not only in your relationships, but every area of your life. He has great plans for you. So if you're in this room, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out any other way. This is between you and God. No one's looking around. But if that's you, maybe even joining us online, if that's you and you're ready to receive God's grace for the first time, you're ready to have that moment where you put your trust in him, I want you to slip up a hand with some boldness in your heart right now. Thank you for that hand. Thank you. Thank you for that hand. With a little courage, say, God, I need your grace. Just slip up a hand just for a moment. It's your faith step. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you, young man. I see that, God. Oh, let grace flow through this place right now, Father. Let your grace flow through every heart, every man, every woman, Lord, in this place. We're so thankful, Lord. You can put your hands down. I want us all pray this prayer, whether you lifted it or not. Especially if you lifted your hand, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord God, I thank you for sending Jesus to die on a cross for my sins. I ask you to forgive me, cleanse me, and make me new. I receive your grace. Help me to walk in your grace all of my days. Fill me with your Spirit and give me the strength to trust you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Life Austin, can we celebrate with all those who prayed that prayer? Come on. What an awesome moment. What an awesome moment. We're so thankful. Come on, listen, we're so thankful that you prayed that prayer. This is a life-changing moment for you. All of you who lifted your hands, we're so proud of you. We're thankful that you were here today because God's grace is more than enough for you. If you prayed that prayer for the first time or maybe the first time in a long time, rededicated your life, I want you to do something in just a moment. Pull out your phone. We're going to put something on the screen. I want you to text the word follow to 22999. That means you have decided to follow Jesus into his grace and his plans for your life. And we want to give you some next steps. I have a book for you that's called Follow Jesus. And we're going to send that to you. If you'll text this number today, text the word follow to this number. I'm going to send you a book and make sure that you have some next steps to move forward in this relationship. Hey, Life Austin, the Bible says this, when just one heart is turned to the Father, all of heaven starts rejoicing. Come on, we just had hearts turned to the Father today. We're so thankful. We're so thankful. His grace is enough. Amen. His grace is enough. All right, listen, next week, Evan Alexander, don't forget that. But this Wednesday, before then, Wednesday night, first Wednesday, 7 o'clock right here, we're going to have a great time of worship, prayer, an inspiring message. We're going to have an awesome after party. We're going to have a basketball shot, $100 basketball shot. Let's go. March Madness is starting off right here in Life Austin. Are you ready? All right, Wednesday night, we'll see you then. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.